Let's go to where we started yesterday. Luke 16. Verse 17. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. Now the tittle is the word in Greek for the vowel points in Hebrew. And it's we're back again to this thing that we can't see, but in Hebrew, in the Torah, there are no vowel points. There's no punctuation. It's just one letter after another with no vowel points. Impossible to understand with your mind. What we've done in the modern translations is trying to make it understandable to the human mind, and it's destroyed the power and the mystery in the modern translations. And the idea that you could have this incredible book or Torah with no vowel points, and so nobody could read it. No punctuation, no capital letters. So how in the world do you read it? But again, we want to make everything understandable to our minds. And therefore, nothing becomes understandable. So, we're going to look at this tittle some more. What? No. Go to Matthew 5. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We're going to take a little bit different approach. Go to Psalm 102. This is called the Psalm of Distress. Let's read a few start at the beginning. We're not gonna read the whole thing, but just to give the tone of it. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. When I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. And then he goes on and on and on. And well, let's just read a few of them. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I've eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered like grass. I don't think any of us have ever experienced that. But this was what happened to David as a prefiguration of Christ. And it says, as we are, as he is in the world, so are we. But that's, let's go up to, let's go, blah, 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 blah. Let's start in verse 23. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou shalt change them or transfigure them. They shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So this whole idea of not one tittle of the law shall pass away till all be fulfilled, well, part of that fulfillment is in essence this destruction. Now, I want you to consider your ways in the light of this. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Now, how many times have you teased me about doing that?
I know.
See?
See how I am?
You're just as bad as I am. At least you're not having a colonoscopy, which, like, I ate chili before I came up. I forgot.
And
what can I tell you?
They claimed it was clear liquid.
They canceled my colonoscopy. All right. This is Isaiah's prophecy about John the Baptist. First he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, this is always true of the true Jerusalem. If you're in the new Jerusalem, your warfare is over. There is no warfare. If you're not in the new Jerusalem, then the warfare is constant. Everybody understand that? It's location of sphere of influence. On the mercy seat, you're in the New Jerusalem, there is no warfare. there's only peace. Outside the New Jerusalem, that's the only other place, is time and space. The warfare is constant. All right.
That would mean your faith is not tried in Jerusalem.
No, their faith is not tried in Jerusalem. You're fed, but you bear his reproach outside the camp. You bear his reproach without considering it warfare. Well, it's the testing. Remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is Jesus Christ in you. But he has to be tested in you so that your mind and your mind is his mind. But unless that test takes place, then you will consider to think your mind is his mind. Can't happen. But here we are. Then he said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places, plain. That's what happens when the destruction of the Whore of Babylon, the mountains of your mind, are made straight. Instead of the infinite thousand millions of pathways of your neurons, it all comes from one source alone. And that pathway is straight. That way is straight. High places are made low, the low places are made even, the rough places are made smooth, the crooked places are made straight. It's the same parable as when with the Ezekiel vision, that he saw this incredible being, but they moved as one. They had eyes and wings and arms, but they moved as one, and that's the parable of the body. So this is the revelation of Christ in you. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And the answer is, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass, or flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Again, we're back to this thing about, if you believe, you will speak. What shall you speak? What shall you cry? Every Passover, we drink, each one of us are supposed to drink the cup of Elijah. When you drink the cup of Elijah, you're saying that this is what I will cry. This is what I will do.
So if you reside in Jerusalem, there's no inflation of other people. There's no inflation of other people.
I can't hear you.
If you reside in Jerusalem, there's no inflation of other people. There's no deflation of other people. There's no inflation of yourself or deflation of yourself.
Well, there's deflation of footballs.
True.
What did you say? Deflation of footballs?
I saw that in the news last night. Some crap about the football having been deflated.
What is a football?
Underinflated.
Deflated. That's what the word they used. Well, the purpose of you, remember, it says all flesh, everyone in the world is deceived, without exception. If you live, if you abide, all that dwell on the earth are deceived. There's no exception. So the question is, where do you dwell? If you dwell on the earth, you're deceived. If you dwell on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem in eternity, then this is whatever we've said here is true. But your mind continually takes you away from that, tries to. That's its job, because it's the only enemy of God. Your mind will always try to put your attention on yourself in some way.
Pride and judgment.
Let me make sure you, let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels or messengers were cast out with him. He's cast out into the earth. And he's cast out into the earth. So the test of Christ in the wilderness would be tested in you. That's why all men walk according to the prince of the power of the air. No matter what you think, no matter how many times you put Jesus' name on it, you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That's why you abandon self. That's why you see your death. That's why you empty your mind. And then, in that, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You cast down all imaginations and high places that exalt themselves against him, and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. It's you have to do it. The power, God's power, is only released through your repentance in you. But as long as you continue to use this evil one for your direction, then you're not residing on the mercy seat. You're not bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You're not confessing or entering the rest. You've always got something to do. So your eye is evil. Back to Isaiah 40. As long as you think your mind is your buddy, you can't do this. So you'll continue to reside on the earth. That's your dwelling place. And the Spirit of the Lord is blowing on your ideas and your plans, causing them to wither until you finally see and repent. Understand? All right. Verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is already completed, is what it says. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. All right, let's go to Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are dug, where you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, in her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and upon mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look unto the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like a wool, like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, and the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Let's go to Matthew 5. I just want to concentrate on this one place, on verse, I'll start in verse 17 again. We just read this, but I want to concentrate on something. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now the point of it is, through ignorance, He may have taught some stupid things, but he's still destined for heaven. It's back in the same kind of, there's another one that's like this. Because this sounds impossible, what we've read this morning. But let's go to 1 Corinthians.
Wait a minute. You're saying that teachers who are off a little bit from what the scripture might be interpreting, saying, and they teach that they're okay.
Well, it says that they'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what that means, but they're least in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. It's the same
the obvious comparison are televangelists, unless they plot and scheme to defraud people or have ungodliness, but if they do believe in what they're saying, then they're okay.
Well, it's like most of the, in my opinion, especially the ones I've met, most of these guys believe what they say is the right way. I know Copeland does. I know Benny Hinn does. I know James Robeson does. Many others that I met when I had the talk show and interviewed everybody. But there are a number that are pure con men. And I'm going to name them. Peter Popoff. W.B. Grant. Mike Murdoch. On and on. Those are the only ones that come to mind right now. They're just con men. And they're destined for the worst of the worst. But as I've said this many times in the past, it's like Joel Osteen, he's not an evil man. He doesn't know the scripture. But he believes that he does. He believes what he's saying is right. Because there is an acknowledgement of Christ in some way. Now, even the people that aren't, I don't care whether you're Muslim or atheist or whatever, that's what 1 Peter says. It says, let's go there so you don't think I make it up. 1 Peter. I think it's 1 Peter. Yeah. Chapter 4. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or the living and the dead? For this cause was and is the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. It's never our business to say who and who isn't in the kingdom of heaven. But it is whoever is the business. In my case, I have to be faithful of what I see and what I've seen. Unfortunately, you guys are part of that because it's the most damning thing there is. I don't know how anybody can even hear the preaching of the cross. It's not good news. It's an offense to everything that you think is good. But each person, we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And that we have to teach what you see. You can't teach what you don't see. You have to teach what's been worked out in you. You can't teach what hadn't been worked out. It'll just be empty words. That's why, the evangelists, Paul and Peter and James and the rest of them, when they went out, they lived with the people. So their words were tested by their life. They lived, in most cases, They lived as the poorest of the poor, not the richest of the rich. But there were rich men. There were rich in the, Paul, when he was in prison, in the temple, I mean, in Rome, it says he was with one of the members of the court. He lived very nicely. He was under house arrest. And there's all kinds of people that have money in the Bible. But they're the only issue is whether or not they're ready to, let's say, communicate. If those that are rich communicate with those in need. So the whole idea is not judgmental. It may sound like it when if I'm preaching only the cross. But there is no, it's none of our business. That's why it says, let's go to Romans 10.
Even here it says they're going to heaven.
Yeah,
which might be the least, but they're poor. You don't have to judge that.
Romans 10 says, the righteousness of which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. And again, it's more emphasis. It says, say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. See, it's none of us is any of our business. It's not our business. Whether somebody's saved or not, whatever that means. But I can only preach what I see. Amen. You're not here this morning?
Yeah, you just
wouldn't let him get a word in. That's what I was just saying.
No, I just got to talk about this jot and tittle thing is real, real important, and I'm putting that about being slow to speak and quick to hear. And when you're preaching, you hear what you're saying, and your words aren't really planned out. You're kind of like an oracle, and you're saying. Say, but I think you hear what you're saying and you judge what you're saying. And if you're preaching, if you know the difference where the vowel points are, then you can hear when you're preaching something self-serving, what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
And so you can stop, laugh at yourself, make a correction publicly.
Amen.
And
again, it's important to recognize that all of the cells in your body don't look anything alike, but they have one thing within them that causes them to be able to reproduce you. Now, all cells in the body of Christ don't look alike, don't sound alike. That's why it started out with the bones in Ezekiel 9. But the flesh must be put on the bones. And the subtlety, that's why I think we're in the end times, because the subtlety of the test is so incredible. Where the test before was, if I preach Christ in any way, I'm dead. But now the test is in this smallest little details of what your mind is doing, or at least that's what I see, the cross. And so it's that subtlety is what's is creating the final details of the bride. It's no longer just the bone, which is a boom, or the flesh booms. It's the subtlety of the peculiarities that make up the bride as from what God says, is the most beautiful thing ever created. And we are members of that bride. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to believe what I see and teach. That's stupid. But it all has to have the basis of Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Amen. Does that explain it? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, fundamentally, I believe that enough, and I appreciate it being reinforced. I'm glad you're here.
You know what? It looks like the coming together in the temple, when your description of it is Moses has all this stuff gathered around on the wall. And,
Mrs. Moses is all pissed. When are you going to do something about this?
And that's what it feels like we are, is parts of the temple or parts of the mansion or whatever, the life, and at God's command.
Well, when except it's now it's by satyrs. That's the whole, because it's not about me, it's about us.
Yeah.
But there's a place I can't remember, but it said, if you're doing all this stuff about, some have wood, hay, and stubble, you know, and for idols, you know, but, and that they will be destroyed, but you won't get destroyed. Do you remember where that is? It's important. I'm going to look this up real quick. Stubble. Well, it's in one of these places. I knew it was in 1 Corinthians. Oh, well, that's not stubble, it's stumble. Yeah. You got your little Antichrist machine.
In this case,
let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 real quick. Start in verse 5. It says, then who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So that's just another way of saying what we said before. All right? I prefer not to build with any wood, hay, or stubble. Anything that isn't truth, doesn't stand the test of time, isn't worth giving importance to. Anything else? Amen.